So this morning, we are looking at the story of the birth of Jesus. So I've got some helpers that are going to bring out some props, but I'm going to need, let me count. I'm going to need some volunteers. Who likes playing with Duplo or Lego? Yeah, I should see some more hands up the back, surely. Now, what I need you to do, I'm going to pick a little person, and what I need you to do is to go grab a big person, and together you are going to construct a character from the story. You can move the table back about a meter and a bit that way. Good. Fantastic. Thanks, boys. Okay, so this is all the Duplo that we've collected so far. Now, I better choose you so you can go grab your big people. All right. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yep. Actually, I didn't even count. Is it six? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. I need two more. Yes, you? Yep. So that was six. Yep. I need two more. So how many we got? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That's it. Great. Yeah, go grab Mum Samuel. Or grab Michael. Michael will be pretty good at this, I think. Okay, you guys can come up on the stage. Grab a spot up here. Now, you're going to have to be mindful of other people, so don't be too gritty on the blocks, but I need to assign you characters. So, can you make Mary? We need Joseph. We need baby Jesus. We need the angel of the Lord. Can you make some shepherds? Can you make some wise men? Can you make a star? And I think I do actually need one more. Yes. So get to work because we don't have all morning. I need one more. Yes. Yep. Go grab a grown up. I'm going to give you guys like 2 minutes. Yeah, grab your sister. All right, you guys need to make King Herod. All right. So, we're going to give them like 90 more seconds. Let me get you a timer out. Who's got some good Duplo memories? Yeah, yes. We played for hours and hours and hours. And I still play, believe it or not. My latest creation was Grogu from The Mandalorian. And then the kids destroyed it. All right, you've got 1 minute left. It doesn't have to be too beautiful, but what have we got going on? Oh, I like this angel of the Lord looking out here. Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, put your building down. Are we on Lego Masters? Okay, once you've got your character, come and stand along the stage. Pick either side. And I'm going to need Mary and Joseph first. So we're going to move this table forward a little bit. Okay, so you guys can spread out, sort of hang out the back on the side of the stages, and I need Mary and Joseph. This is the set. Here's the stage. And what I need you guys to do is to be your characters, got it? So is this Mary? Mary in her castle, okay. Very good. And up to you. I mean, that could be a good Joseph. Okay, we'll go with that, Joseph. Scuba diver, Joseph. Okay, so our story begins. Come and stand behind the table, Mary and Joseph. With Mary and Joseph. Can everyone see? Maybe if you guys want to come step back over this way so these guys can see and, yeah, vice versa. Okay. Now, Mary and Joseph are betrothed. Now, at this time, Mary is, anyone know how old Mary is? She's around about, 12, 13, 14. Who's like 14? Yeah, so you're betrothed. And Joseph is a little bit older. He's probably around about 18, which is not okay today, but it was definitely okay then. And their marriage was most likely arranged by their parents. Now, betrothal is not what we would think of today as engaged, right? So back then, you had what is sort of like a really long wedding. So you would be legally married, but you don't get to live together or consummate the marriage until about a year later. So what has happened is Mary and Joseph are legally married, but they're not living together yet because Joseph is going to prepare a home for Mary and he's going to come back and collect her. And while Mary is by herself in her castle, she is visited by the angel of the Lord. Where's the angel of the Lord? On a rocket ship. Awesome. Bring in the angel of the Lord. Come on, Samuel, bring it over here. That's it. The angel of the Lord visits Mary and says, "Do not fear, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, if you got that greeting, you'd be like, okay, what's the catch? Out of nowhere, an angel arrives on the rocket ship and Mary's a little bit suspicious, like, okay, what's going on? And he says, "You're going to have a baby." And Mary says, "How can this be? I'm not yet fully married." And the angel says that the Holy Spirit is going to give you a child. And then the angel of the Lord takes off again. He's going to come back a few times so he can go back, rocket off to heaven. Now, Joseph finds out about Mary. And he's a little disturbed. And now, what we need to understand is, in that time, if you had a baby to someone you weren't married to, you could be put to death. And Joseph knows he's not the dad. And he's trying to figure out what to do. Now, we know that Joseph had a really good character because he didn't decide. I love how we're all just playing. He didn't decide to put Mary to death. And he decided that he would try and divorce her quietly. He didn't want her to be ashamed. He didn't want her to be harmed. And so he works out that he's going to do that. And then one night, Joseph is having a sleep. And again, the angel of the Lord comes in his dream. Here it comes. And he says, "Joseph, don't divorce Mary. The baby is from God. You should look after her and stay with her. And he's going to be a great man." And then the light. That's great. Then Joseph wakes up and he decides that he's not going to divorce Mary. And I love how God waited until Mary was betrothed before he came to her and put Jesus in her tummy. And I think it's because God really wanted to have a father on the scene for Jesus. And I think Joseph was super important for Jesus' life. Okay, so moving on. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't put together a list of baby names like we would. Like, you know, they didn't say, oh, is it going to be Brian? Or what kind of names do we like? Watermelondria? No, there wasn't any of that. They were told by the angel, no, you need to call him Yeshua, which means God saves. The Lord saves. And so they already had a name picked out. Now, we're going to fast forward in the story a bit to when Mary is ready to give birth. At this time, there was a census on, which means they needed to count everybody in the town. And they couldn't do it with the internet because they didn't have the internet. And they couldn't even fill out paper forms because they didn't really have paper on hand. And so what they had to do was they had to go to their birth town to register how many people are in their family and what they're doing and everything like that. So they had to go back to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph head to Bethlehem. And when they got there, because so many people had arrived, there was no room for them to stay in the inn. Now, we know this, right? But the word for inn in this story doesn't actually mean a hotel necessarily. It's probably more the guest room in a relative's house. And so instead of being in the guest room in a relative's house, they had to live in the living room where they were going to have the baby. Now, the funny thing about the living room is that was often where you would bring the animals in at night to keep them out of harm's way and in shelter. And so it makes a lot of sense that Jesus would have been put in a manger because there was probably a feeding trough right there, and they may have even had some animals around when they were having the baby. So Mary and Joseph, they have the baby in Bethlehem, as we know. And then nearby, so we're going to move Mary and Joseph to the side and we need the shepherds. Can we get the shepherds on the scene? Nice. We'll pretend that's a sheep. I like the staff. That's awesome. So the shepherds are hanging out in the fields nearby. And guess who rocks up? Anyone know? The angel of the Lord, of course. So the angel of the Lord's back. Here we go. And he's got a whole heavenly host with him. And he says, a baby has been born. The Son of God has been born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. Praise be to God. Now, the shepherds are freaking out. They have no idea what's going on. And so they hear the angels. And then it says that a whole heavenly host rocked up and they started to sing. So can you be the heavenly host, everyone? They said, yeah, good. Give me like your angelic voices. They said, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Yeah, that was pretty good. Okay, so the shepherds then, after they recover from shock, they head off to find this baby wrapped in a cloth lying in a manger. Now we need baby Jesus. Where's baby Jesus? Who is doing baby Jesus? Over here. Okay, baby Jesus is up. So we've had, oh, he's in it. Oh, how cool. You guys are so creative. So the shepherds rock up and they say, guess what? Some angels sent us because this is going to be the Son of God. And can you think for a moment, parents, how reassured you would be that random shepherds would rock up and say, oh, an angel just told us that this is going to be the Son of God. Because I think you think you've seen God. You're trusting Mary that she's being honest and that your dream was actually from God. And so to have this confirmation of the shepherds, I think would have said a lot to Mary and Joseph. They would have known that their son is called, he's chosen, and that they are chosen to do the right thing and to raise him. Make sure we're being quiet down the front here, guys. Shh. Otherwise, I'll have to kick you off back down there. All right. Okay, next up, at the same time, yeah, the shepherds can go back off, thank you very much. At the same time, a star appeared over Bethlehem. So can you hold the star up? How good's that? And some wise men in a far-off land, I love it. Oh dear. Some wise men saw, they would watch the stars all the time, and they saw that there was a new star in the sky. Now, these wise men were from Persia, which used to be Babylon, which is now Iran. And we're pretty sure that they are descendants of the wise men that Daniel set up in the book of Daniel, which is pretty cool, right? So they knew some prophecies about the Messiah, and they saw this star, and so they decided to follow it because it represented that a new king had been born. Now, what the nativity that we're going to perform in a couple of weeks won't tell you is that the journey didn't take a couple of steps. It actually took them probably 1 or 2 years, right? But we're going to fast forward it and put it all together. But they spent 1 or 2 years traveling from Iran all the way down to Bethlehem. On their way, they ran into King Herod. Here he is. Everyone say, duh, 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 duh. Here he is, King Herod. And they said, oh, you know, have you seen the star in the east? There's a child, a king has been born. And Herod said, oh, I don't know where he is, but I think I heard something about Bethlehem. So why don't you go down there? And King Herod says, well, if you hear anything, just let me know. I'd really like to pay my respects to this new king, because Herod was actually, as you know, not really happy with anyone else taking his throne. So the wise men said, yeah, yeah, cool, no worries. And they head off on their journey. And then they find baby Jesus in Bethlehem. And they present him with the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we don't know how many wise men there were. We're going to say three because there's three gifts, but there could have been a lot more than that. And they hand over the gifts and they worship him. And then before they head home, they have a nap. And guess who rocks up in their dream? The angel of the Lord, he comes back again. Well, he's changed. The angels can change form. They're now Elsa. And the angel says, don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way. And so they decide, okay, we're not going to go back to Herod. And they head home a different way to what they came. And then, so Jesus is about 1 or 2 years old by this point. He's probably out of the manger. And the angel of the Lord rocks up one more time to Joseph. And he says, Joseph, King Herod's coming to kill all the boys in Bethlehem. You need to leave. And so Mary, Joseph, and Jesus pack up and they move to Egypt until a time when King Herod dies and it's safe to return. Thank you, everybody. Hands, give everyone a hand. Your building skills have paid off. Chuck it all back on the mat. We'll dispose of that quickly. Fantastic. I hope you see the story in a new light. If that made no sense to you, come to the Nativity and you'll see it all much, much better. Thank you very much, kids. You're great packer-upperers. Fantastic. Now, I'm going to hand over to someone who's going to make a little bit more sense of this story to us. So why don't you join me in welcoming Penny to bring our take home for this morning.
Well, that was fantastic. Thank you, kids. Thank you for sharing all of that with us today as well. Okay, just checking I'm not going to break my leg on anything this morning up here, which is highly likely. Who stood on Lego before? Fantastic. We love that feeling. Well, I was asked to bring a little take home for you that you could really think about with the story of the birth of Jesus. And so I started to think about, well, what relevance, what significance does the birth of Jesus have to us in 2023? And the reason I thought about this is because I thought, what if you have a neighbour or a friend or someone in your community or a workplace who might be thinking and might even have the courage to ask you, what's a baby in a manger 2,000 years ago got to do with me in 2023? And so I was thinking of a creative way that we could share the gospel with them. Just one way, there's many ways, but one way that might be relevant to their season right now. And so we're going to talk about today one of the names of Jesus, which is the Prince of Peace. And so today we're just going to talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So let's pray first. Father, I just thank you for this moment. I thank you that you're with us. I pray, God, your word would go out and accomplish what it wants to do in Jesus' name. And I pray for anyone this morning that needs a reminder of the Prince of Peace, that we would definitely walk away with that today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79 says, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the rising sun, speaking about Jesus, will come to us from heaven, he will shine on those in darkness and in the shadow of death, in the place of despair, in the place of stress, perhaps. That's where he's going to shine for us this year, to guide our feet on the path of peace. And so I was just curious if there's anyone in here today that might like a little bit of that peace that we're talking about as we race to the end of the year finish line, as we have our massive to-do list, as we try to fit everything in, would you like some peace? You know, I'm sure most people in this room, although you're sitting there looking lovely, have got some stress going on in the background. Things are happening, things are bubbling away, and that's like most people. I know all my teacher friends are stressed at the moment. They don't like me because I've been on long service leave at the moment, so I don't have many friends left. They're all a bit disappointed. But they're stressed out of their heads, and I know that feeling very well. Maybe you're stressed at the place that you have to work. Maybe you're stressed at the pace that your life is running. Maybe you're stressed at the problem that you're facing. Maybe it's a people problem. Maybe it's several people problems. Maybe it's all of humanity driving you nuts kind of problem. But either way, we've all got some stress. And if that's you, I have a word from God for you today. Fix your eyes on Jesus and walk on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace. The scripture that I just read said, we walk on the path of peace. So there must be a way for us to have peace regardless of what's going on in our life. We think that the birth of Jesus and the season that it finds us in would be that season of peace. But for most of us, the lead up to Christmas is often anything but peaceful. Stress levels are higher, more pressure in our day to fit it in. Christmas sometimes feels like chaos and commercialization instead of a reminder that the Prince of Peace is with us. So where is your stress level at? What's got you worried at the moment? What gives you that knot in your stomach? Where's the focus of your stress? It's important because where we focus out and identify our stress is where we try and look for peace. We easily fix our eyes on that place of stress, that place or the pace or the person or the problem, and we're looking for a perfect solution before we have peace. But peace isn't found in perfection. Peace isn't found in your situation changing. Peace isn't found in your job changing. Peace isn't found in your relationship status changing. Peace isn't found in your financial situation changing. Peace isn't even found in your healing. What I've learned is that sometimes God doesn't rescue us from our situation, but he comes to us in our situation and is with us in the process. Before I went on long service leave, I thought for sure the thief of my peace was my workplace. And I just thought, you know, if people could just calm down and be nice to each other, then I would have peace. And I'm sure for you in your situation, whatever you identified as that source of stress, you think if it changed, you would have peace. But peace isn't found in our situation changing. Peace is found in a person, and that person is Jesus. And so we just learnt this morning, and I am not the funny one, so, you know, Isaiah 9 verse 6, what was it? Isaiah 9 verse 6, go. For a child is born to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Sorry, Mike. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he wasn't actually called the Prince of our comfort or the Prince of our ease or the Prince of our preferences. And we think that when we hear that verse, and we think that God's going to come and it's going to be easy and it's going to be convenient and I'm going to have no stress. But what I've slowly learnt and come to realise is that it is impossible to experience peace when I'm looking for perfection. We can't have peace because we're longing for our lives to be perfect. But when Jesus came down from earth, it was anything but perfect. He didn't come to humanity in the form of a king on a horse. He came in a little baby, weak in a manger, with some cattle feeding trough and, you know, those smelly shepherds turning up at the front door and saying hello. It wasn't perfection, but peace came in Jesus. And so I wondered, why did Jesus come as a baby? Maybe because God wants us to know that he can bring us peace in our situation, regardless of what's going on in our life. and it might not look how we expected it to look. Peace isn't found in a place. Peace isn't found in a slower pace. Peace isn't found in our situation changing or our problem being solved. Peace is found in Jesus. Psalm 23 verse 4 said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." We can be at peace on the path through the valley of the shadow of death, not because we're not going through it, but because we're not going through it alone. Jesus is with us, and greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And the angel in the story that Jesse spoke about in Luke 2:10 said, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring good news today of great joy, which will be to all the people.'" Because the first thing those shepherds felt in that field when they were told about the announcement of Jesus, it wasn't a response of faith, it was fear. And we think that the presence of God is always going to make us feel better and feel comfortable. But the first thing those shepherds felt was fear. And the angel came again in 2:14 and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." The peace wasn't on earth, but peace came to earth. Because if peace comes from people, then people can take peace away. If your peace comes from a release in your place in pressure, then more pressure can just come and take it away. If peace comes from a solution to your problem, I can guarantee you there's another problem on the way coming to take your peace again. So I don't want a peace that comes from a change in my workplace. I don't want a peace that comes from my healing or my pain being eased. I want a peace that the world didn't give and the world can't take away, and that peace is Jesus. So how can we experience this peace? How can we walk on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace? By fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." And it is hard to fix our eyes on Jesus when our situations and our distractions and our add-on and our stress are screaming for our attention. But I'm inviting all of us today, and myself included, to actually take our eyes off our situation and fix our eyes on Jesus. Not because it's easy, but as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we get to walk on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace. That verse I read out when I first started from Luke 1:79 said, "He guides our feet into the path of peace." It's not the path to peace, because that indicates it's out there and we've got to find it. It's the path of peace. Peace isn't found when we get to the end of the term. Peace doesn't suddenly show up when Christmas dinner's over. We won't feel peace when we get that healing and the pain stops. It's not about the situation changing. It's not about January coming and the calendar ticking over and everything miraculously is different. That's why we can't project our peace out there on people or on paces or on places or on problems being solved. We just have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we can find this peace and walk on the path of peace with the Prince of Peace. So I was thinking, what does it look like to fix our eyes on Jesus? And I saw something this week and I took a photo of it to show you. Fingers crossed it comes up. This is a photo. This is my cutest dog ever. Bruce loves it. Humphrey B. Bear. And Beans the cat. Now, Humphrey is fascinated with Beans. And all Beans must do is just move a little bit and Humphrey will chase or follow Beans. And Humphrey loves me. And I can normally call his name or offer a treat or say, and normally he will listen to me, but not when his eyes are fixed on Beans. I can call till those cows come home and it's like I'm not even in the room. His eyes are fixed on Beans. And the same is true as us. Just as our eyes, Humphrey's eyes are fixed on Beans, our eyes can be fixed on Jesus. And what that means is every step you take, he is with you. Every season you walk through, he's present with you. Wherever he goes, you follow. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if the team want to come, I just wanted to give a moment this morning to think about the Prince of Peace. Let's not look for peace in all the wrong places. The peace of God is not the absence of our problems, but it is the presence of Jesus which enables us to walk on the path of peace with him, regardless of our situation. Do you guys want to stand with me this morning? We're going to pray. And maybe this message was for someone that you're going to come in contact with this December that needs a reminder of the Prince of Peace. Maybe this was for you. Maybe you've got stress going on. Maybe you've got things happening in your life. You know what? We would love the opportunity to pray with you. Our pastors, we love to pray. So if that's you and you would like someone to stand with you in your situation, then I invite you to just come down and one of the pastors would love to pray with you. But if not, right where you are, we're just going to pray right now and pray that the Prince of Peace would meet you in your situation. So Father, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you came, Jesus. I thank you that you loved us so much. And I thank you that one of your names that we can call you and trust in you is the Prince of Peace. So Prince of Peace, we just invite you into our lives and into our story and in our situation, in that place, in our pace of life, in that problem or in that person or people, Lord. We invite the Prince of Peace to have his way. And Lord, I would just pray right now for everybody in this room that anyone that is experiencing any kind of stress would just lay it down at the foot of Jesus today. And we would take away your Prince of Peace, your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, God, that we do not walk alone through any situation, that you're with us and you're for us and you have good plans for us. And we just give you all the honor and praise this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that the Prince of Peace walks with us in the path of peace, in Jesus' name. So we are going to sing a song this morning to our beautiful Prince of Peace. And if you need prayer, we're going to be hanging around down here. But if not, at the end of this song, would you go and find someone and hug them and let them know that we are so glad that you came to church today. Church isn't the same without you. And we're so blessed that you came today. Have a wonderful week.